Amen. It's so good to be with you this morning. God bless you. I'm here on an assignment today, so you just have to hang in there with us. Amen. We're excited about what God is doing. Let's just give a praise and honor to the King. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to introduce to you Pastor Karen, my better half for 57 years. Here she is.
Excuse me a minute. Had my hand on my phone, and now it has a funny picture on it. The Lord directed me to a verse in 2 Corinthians. It's familiar, chapter 3, verse 18. I started going in one direction with it last night, and then this morning had me going in a whole nother direction. And so I'm quite sure that what I'm going to share is the right place for this verse. It reads, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." Every day, when you have believed in the Lord and received Him into your life, every day you are new. And so even the people you live with every single day have to begin to acknowledge the fact that when they first see you on a new day, you are not the same. And so in our lives, when change comes, we tend to repel from it. We are not people who usually like change. But the Word of God tells us that we are transformed. Once we're in the kingdom, we are transformed. Every single day, you are not the same. There's no possible way for you to get stuck in the mud anywhere. Okay? Because it says that, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." So the transformation isn't, you're not going backwards. You know, we're going from glory to glory, all right? "Just as from the Lord, the Spirit." Paul didn't say just from God or just from the Lord. He also says the Lord, the Spirit. Now, one of the other things that we have is that he addresses us to say that we have an unveiled face. There's many people that are all around us that are still walking around living their days with a veil over them. Since those of us who have received Jesus and have turned to Him have a veil removed, it brings us to a place where we must be kind loving understanding of those that are still walking around with a veil over their face. In this section of scripture, Paul was sharing with them, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. This is a couple of verses ahead, starting at verse 13. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds, so they cannot understand the truth. And you wonder why don't some people get it? Well, they've got that veil, so they can't understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image.
Amen. And I have the privilege and honor of living with that 24/7. Amen. It's a privilege and honor of being here today. We haven't been up here almost 2 years. And I still remember our way up here, so we made it. We've all changed. And I trust that those of you who were not here yesterday, I came here with an assignment, a very important word for this house, and what's going to bring this house into its destiny. And I encourage everyone to go back. I know it's lengthy. You can do it parts, but get back and listen to what the Lord had brought into this place on Saturday, because it's extremely important. We have to realize that everything has changed. Nothing's the same anymore. In fact, the person you're looking at and hearing right now, you look at the body, and the body looks reasonably the same, maybe a little bit older, a little more wrinkles. But you are not hearing the same person that was here 2 years ago. You're not. Because we've changed. We've been sanctified. We've brought into the kingdom a lot of the trappings that we grew up with, particularly religious settings, have been stripped away from us. And during this time, we're left with one thing. Not what the world can do for us, definitely not what the government can do for us. And quite frankly, as we grew up, there was a belief that the government would never, ever come against the church in America. Would never, ever shut it down like they do in communistic countries. But the reality is they did. And they shut the church down. Are you hearing me? I'm going to be lifting you up, but I'm going to give you some truth too, because I feel, Pastor Mac, that God has sent me here. I know we wanted to come up here, but I've come here with an assignment, brother. And it's that prophetic side of me that's just screaming inside right now. But we need to understand that as we go forward, we've all changed. And everyone who has walked through this time period has had the reliance of the church somewhat taken away. And we found out what the body of Christ really is all about. Is it about church? Or is it about our relationship with Jesus Christ with nothing else supporting it? And this has been a major paradigm shift. And the local church is going to be more important than ever as we go forward. But it will never be the same. It can't be the same. We're not going back to what it was. Because what it was is what it was. Those that put their hands to the plow and look back are not fit for church. No. Not fit for the kingdom of God. Think about that. And so I came here, I'm sitting there, and I had to sit down almost every wonderful song. I worship, appreciate you guys, all of you. But I had to sit down with the weight the Lord is saying to me, because it's time for this church to change. It's time for you to change. It's time to become more kingdom-minded. And what does Jesus want? And I come to encourage you today. And so I titled this message, Awake, Arise, and Break Up the Fallow Ground. And I want to talk to you a little bit about waking up. I want to talk to us a little about being energized. As I shared on yesterday, my wife and I just celebrated in July 50 years of being kingdom born. 50 years. We've seen just about it all. Not much surprises us anymore. Until COVID came. And then we found out by dealing with people, where is the constitution of our faith? Because we have been invaded with fear. And fear is pervasive throughout the church today. And it's attacking the very essence of faith. It's time to wake up. It's time to arise. It's time to shake off the world. It's time to shake off COVID. It's time to shake off the fear that they've put on everybody. And every one of us, at one point or another during this 2 years, have had to deal with, including me, the fear of even going outside. And the Lord said, are you of faith or are you of fear? Choose this day what you will flow in. I didn't like that. That was kind of heavy on me. But my message today is awake, arise, is a call and instruction from the Lord, our God, to every single disciple of Jesus Christ. And I'll explain this one thing because you're going to hear me use disciple, and I explained this on Saturday, is that I came to the revelation that I always used to use the word believer. But I kind of find out there's a lot of people that believe things, but there's not a whole bunch of substance behind the belief. We say we believe in Jesus, but live our own life. And then the Lord kind of says, Lord, I'm uncomfortable with this and all my posts. And it was really uncomfortable when I changed it. It almost didn't work in the sentences anymore. But I've changed believer to disciple. Because that's what Christ is after. He did not say go throughout the world and make believers of all men. He said make disciples of all men. A disciple is far different than someone who just believes. Awake. You who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let's go look at this Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. I'm going to read it again. And it says, therefore, say therefore. Therefore, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And it really sounds good and all this, but the word that starts that sentence tells you there's more substance to it, and that is the word what? Therefore. And so therefore points you back to a few verses before that. What am I being therefore to? And so Ephesians 5, verse 8 says, or you were once darkness, but now you're light. In the Lord, walk as children of light. We are to walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Are we stopping to find out what is acceptable to the Lord? Are we reacting to the dictates and the mandates of man's government? What's acceptable to the Lord? Are we even asking that question anymore? Or we've been so programmed now in the last 2 years that we don't even check in with, what do you want, God? He might say, I don't want you doing that. Wow. Are you with me? And have, I want you to hear this now, and have no, say no, fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. No fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. But rather expose them. How many of you see a lot of stuff going around and it's all done in secret, it's all done in darkness? Oh, we find out in theater, we find out this, that all this is going on in darkness. And so we let the darkness overcome us. We're saying, how can everything be done in darkness? But you see, the word says that God will expose what's done in darkness with the light. Amen? Who's the light? Where's the light of the world? What sits on top of a hill? Where is the light to dispel the deep, penetrating darkness that we live in? Where is the light? I'm saying to you, my dear beloved, would you do me a favor, please? Say yes. Would you look in a mirror? Because you, my dear beloved, is the light that will dispel all darkness on this earth right now. The body of Christ with the light of Christ coming through us. He will take it all away. But we need to arise. Amen? And we need to awaken. We need to realize what we are. Verse 12 says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Wow. Words, words, words. What are we speaking in existence in our lives? The Lord says that it's shameful even to speak of those things. In other words, get your focus off the darkness and get it back on the light. That's what in essence that's saying. Amen? Are we all doing all right? But all things that are exposed are made manifest by what? By the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. He saved us, and then he made us the transparent light that will go throughout this world. And it's time that the church and the body of Christ, we kind of rise up and wake up. Wake up to what? All that's going around us. No, we're inundated with what's going around us. That's never the question of waking up to. We don't have to look at what's going around us. It's very evident. In fact, they're so blatant now, they do it right in your face and then spit in your face and say, now, this is what we're going to do. And the church kowtows. We go back. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to do anything. Okay, and we start to cover ourselves. And we let the fear come on us. And we let the opinions of man come on us. And God says, awake and arise, for your light has come. And that we, the church, must come to an understanding that we are the light of the world and we are the hope that no one ever will be able to bring out into the world today. So what God's saying is get your focus off all this stuff and get it back on Him, the light of the world, who is empowering you to be a light wherever you go, wherever you step foot, if there's darkness. Let it be noticed that you've arrived. When you walk into a room and there's darkness, just walk in the room. I've seen this happen. Just walk in the room and the light must flee. Well, that doesn't happen because you don't believe it. I know when I walk into a room, the atmosphere changes. When I walk into a room, like this, centered. We do the same thing in our church. And so I want us to come. Many in the body of Christ have desired to experience revival in the spirit and in the heart, a renewed soul. How many of us really want that? Amen? That's found in Proverbs 6, 9 through 10. I got ahead of myself. We really want the light. We really want to be renewed. Amen? However, do we not recognize and embrace the call and instructions of the Lord. We want this real bad. How many of you want to see a revival? I mean, awakening. How many of you really want to see it? How many of you want to see our souls renewed? Get up every morning and feel fresh. I'm ready to take every day. Darkness doesn't come near me. Negative wouldn't even enter my doorstep. It doesn't crouch at my door anymore waiting for me to become negative or discouraged or depressed. How many of you really would like to see that? And the Lord has said instructions to us. He says, here's the instruction. If you want that, here's the instructions of the Lord. Awake, arise, because they're prerequisites in the preparation of any move of God. You see, the church has been praying the move of God, but they don't want to become the move of God. The church has been asking God to send the revival, but the church doesn't want to be the revival. Amen? The church, we're calling down the presence of the Lord, but we don't want the presence of the Lord to release us into the community. We're asking God, we're demanding God, we're doing this, and God's saying, stop demanding me, arise, awaken out of your sleep, and become what I've called you to become. Is it going to be dangerous? Absolutely. Is people going to come up against us? Absolutely. Are we going to be labeled all kinds of, I'm not even going to go into the labels, you know what they all are. Are they going to label me this? Are they going to call me this? Absolutely. But because I'm driven by a light inside of me, I'm driven by a voice that sits down inside of me. I'm driven by a truth that is in my spirit. I'm driven by the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I'm driven by that. And I will not adhere to anything on the outside that says I can't be what God called me to be. I'm going to let it rise up inside me. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to throw my shoulders back and say, it's me and you, Jesus, against the world. Awake means to rise up or rose up from the sleep. Stir up. Come out of your slumber. Awaken out of the slothfulness. That's found in Proverbs 6, verses 9 through 10. Why does a believer who is active, and I'm going to ask you this because you're going to wonder what I'm saying. Why is a disciple who is active, taking care of their family, going to work every day, attending church services faithfully, amen, loves the Lord, why do they need to be awakened from a spiritual sleep and slumber? Why? Because we are operating in a habitual habit of religiosity and not in the life of the Spirit of the living God. Many things we do in church today, we do because it's a habit, not because it's a move of God. Now, that's not saying what you're doing is wrong. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But what we're doing should not be a habit. That's one thing COVID showed. The habit of going to church was broken. And now the restraints are off. Do you know how many people are not returning to church? Because the habit was broken. But the Spirit of the Lord says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. So what am I going to believe? Is this all right? So the Lord showed me that many, I asked the Lord about this, because we have many faithful people. And I said, Lord, what is it? What's going on? He showed me that many disciples are in a spiritual sleepwalk. Sleepwalking is a condition and a state of a person who is asleep, yet walking and functioning as they were awake. How many of us are functioning as if we were awake, but spiritually we're asleep? Now I can just feel the weight. Like, raise your hand, raise the Lord. This is going to be good. I'm not mean, but I'm serious. I've come here with a serious message for the life of this house. You've got to hear what the Lord is saying. Spiritual sleepwalking means that a person is functioning in life without discerning and is detached, seeing but not perceiving, hearing but not understanding, touching out yet not being touched. How many of us go to church services discerning but not discern? How many of us go and feel together, but yet we are still detached? How many of us at church services and a church body now is that we come to a church body and we feel that we're attached, but we leave, we're actually detached, because we won't see these people, say anything about these people, probably won't think about them until next Sunday. That's not a body. That's a gathering of people once a week. That's not what God wants. And COVID's done this to us. We're detached, separated. Many people, one of the biggest problems our young people is they've lost their identity. They don't know who they are anymore. Why? Because of masks. They're covering up who they really are. They can't identify anymore. They don't see personality anymore. They just see a mask. And I'm not saying pro-mask, not mask, not that. Let's not go down that road. I don't go down that road. But I'm saying we need to stick our hearts into the Spirit of God and discern actually what's going on, so we can pray out of it and bring out of it. Amen? Are you all doing all right? So spiritual sleepwalking means I function as a Christian, but I really don't see the fruits of a Christian. I have all kinds of reasons why I don't do something. And they all make sense because I'm asleep. Oh, I'm going to church and I'm doing all the activities. I'm even praising God. I even feel goose pimples on Sunday morning. But when I leave here, I'm still asleep. Because when I leave church, I leave church. No. That's what's wrong. When you leave the building, you are still the church. You see, we equated church to a building. That's what the system did for us. The building is not the church. In fact, at one point, we had a big banner in our church when I was pastoring. I got tired of it, and I put the gathering place. That's what I said. All right, we're going to go to the gathering. I'm going to go to church. No, you're going to the gathering place. You're not going to church. You are the church. Amen? I must move on because I'm on time restraint. The condition, listen to me, sleepwalking and this type of thing spiritually is a condition that produces instability. And I don't know if this you've seen this on brothers and sisters in Christ. It produces instability, weakness, vulnerability, opens up the inner man to be attacked in every substance of their belief. That's what sleepwalking does. If asleep, you cannot stare up the spirit and your spiritual gifts. If I'm in the slumber and pastor gets up about stirring up the spiritual gifts, we sleep it away. We slumber it away. So I have the energy for that anymore. How many Christians have you heard say, I'm tired, I don't have the energy anymore? How many of we hear that? I'm tired, I don't have the energy for that anymore. Particularly if you got some gray hair up here like I have. And God say, no, you can't be that way. Well, I've been doing this for 40, 50 years, Lord, and I don't see a whole bunch. God didn't ask you to see it. He asked you to be obedient. I must move on. The second prerequisite is in the preparation of move of God is to arise from the spiritual dead. Arise means to spring up into action, become operative, be visible, present yourselves, and come out from the lower and rise up to the level. Stop hiding. God's after something in the church. The world is dying out there, and I don't like that phrase. I won't use it. But the world is going, you know, to places. Not good places. You understand what I'm saying? The scripture is that the world is longing and mourning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not sleeping. Manifestation of the sons. That's what they're all waiting for out there. They're all dying. They have no hope. They're waiting for someone to rise up and say, no, there's another way. Walk ye in it. Arise is an activation word calling to disciples to wake up, come alive, report for duty, and allow the Holy Spirit to flow in and through them. And once that happens, it's empowering. Amen. Isn't that exciting? How many of you want to see the Holy Ghost move through you? Huh? It's exciting. It really is. But why is the Holy Spirit going to want you to rise? You see, I'm going in a direction in the next few minutes. Is we want to rise up so we can experience a revival. I want to rise up so I can experience the presence of God. I want to rise up so I can see what God's going to do. I want to rise up so I can see the Spirit of God moving. I want to rise up so I can have a new experience. I want to rise up so I can be refreshed. And all that's good. But that's not what I'm going to talk to you about today. I'm going to do a little switch on you. There's a shift. Because what does God want you to rise and wake up to do? What does he want you to be empowered to do? Win the world for Jesus. Oh, he does that, but you got to start somewhere. My wife would always bring me down to reality when I was pastoring because I'm a visionary. And so I said, let's go do that. Well, there's a river there. Well, cross the river. Let's go do that. And she would always ask me, okay, once you're on the other side, then what are you going to do? If you don't build the bridge, you can't keep going back and forth to build. You got to do the substantial things, the structural things in our spiritual life. And we run from structure. So let me just say this to you. The second half of this message is that I want us to rise and wake up and break up the fallow ground. What I'm coming to you is the word of the Lord today is that he wants to bring revival and a move of God to this place like you've never seen. How many can say amen to that? But he wants you, and I'm going to say you because I'm addressing this church. Those who are online, if you go to another church, take it to your church. Amen. That's good. But rise and break up the fallow ground. And there is a saying that I like the principle of the saying, and that is familiarity breeds or builds what? Contempt. And I asked the Lord putting this message together, what's that got to do with breaking up the fallow ground? He says, everything. Because if you're so familiar with something, you don't see what's wrong with it, then what's wrong with it will never change until it's destroyed. Familiarity is a word that means the state of being, knowing, being familiar with, having freedom of behavior. Losing sight of one's condition becomes careless. If I become so familiar with something, and I know it so well, that my familiarity of that thing that I'm doing allows me to overlook what might be wrong that will destroy the very thing that I'm looking at. For example, you can walk over a ground. How many of us walk the pathway of a ground? Walk pathway. You walk the same ground every day, every day. Nothing changes on that ground. And pretty soon, if it's a grass pathway, it becomes dirt. If you walk on that pathway enough, you're so familiar with that pathway, if you look at it long enough, pretty soon it becomes a rut. And all of a sudden, the sides of that rut keeps me from being and doing what I'm supposed to do. Familiarity is now bringing bondage into my life. You all right in handling that? And so you see, a state of being and knowing one's familiarity, being or understanding something, will cause one to lose sight. And then after losing sight, become careless. And they neglect to pay attention to what really is going on. They neglect to pay attention to what one does or how one reacts. Or I've become so accustomed to a brother or sister in Christ that they could be going the wrong way because I'm so familiar, I don't see what's happening. Wow. Could that ever happen to a pathway to a church? I become so familiar with what goes on there that after a while, I don't see what needs to be done to bring it into the new light. Have I become so familiar Sunday after Sunday, singing the same songs, singing the same people, walking the same pathway from the parking lot to here, that I don't even see the condition of my church anymore? That's where contempt comes in. Contempt is a meaning that's a feeling with which one person regards anything of value or of no value. If I have contempt for my brother, I devalue you. And I don't have contempt for you, trust me. But if I have contempt for something, I devalue it. That's why families are breaking up in America. Because we're getting contempt towards our own family members. I know this is a little heavy and it's not what you wanted to hear, but it's what God sent me to say to you. We need to stir up the foul ground. Can I hear an amen on that? One walks over the ground that they have become so familiar with it that they no longer see the condition, that it's hard. There are many rocks there. It's weather torn. It's got ruts. The general condition has decreased. So it is with many disciples, even with our spiritual walks with the Lord. How familiar have we become with our daily routines? I every morning I get up and I do the same thing. After I did this message, Pastor Mac, it was different. I got up to do the same thing, and God said, "What are you doing?" I'm going to read my scripture and I'm going to say my prayer. He says, is that out of devotion? Or is that out of habit? Are you reading the same scripture every day because it's a habit? Or is it a devotion to me? I had to come to grips with my own message. God is good. The condition of the ground will determine the results and fruit of everyone's efforts. God will and desire for each disciple of Jesus Christ to experience an yield and a return from the ground they plant in, which one's efforts and seeds are placed. God wants you to prosper. How many of you know that? God wants you to plant a seed, and he wants you to take the fruit of that seed and see the plant grow up. Enjoy it. I've watched, we have people in our neighborhood that love they love gardening, they love planting. And I have my next door neighbor, it's like a person. She sits there and she plucks little buds off it, and she's just so meticulous with that plant because she's enjoying the fruit of her labor. How many of us in the church or body of Jesus Christ are enjoying the fruit of our labor? Or has it become burdensome? How many of us are planting things and we want to see something grow? Mark 4, 2 through 9. I'm going to go about 10 more minutes. Is that back? All right, back? Okay. I know we're online, we're trying to do this, but Mark 4, verses 2 through 9, we all know this scripture. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in the teaching, "Listen, behold, sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured." How many of you have lost your seed? And you know you did everything right, but you lost your seed. That's frustrating, isn't it? Some fell on stony ground. And when it did not have, or where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprung up because it had no depth of earth. How many of you have planted your seed and it just had no depth, it had no root? You didn't water it. You just threw it there and expected it to grow. You can't plant something without watering it, without nourishing it, without putting growth in. You've got to nourish everything you plant. Amen? But if the ground is not right, you can nourish all you want. It's not going to grow. Some fell on stony ground. Or didn't have much. I read the verse 6. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell in the thorns, cares of this world, and the thorns grew and choked it and yield no crop. That's the one we're dealing with today, more than any. The cares of this world are choking out what we're planting, and we're letting it happen because we're not aware of it. Are you with me? Because we need to do something different with the ground. But other seed fell on good ground. Say good ground. Amen? There's a good side to this. And yield a crop that sprung up, increased, and produced some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so we have to understand that God is after something, that he wants us to take a look at what we're planting, where we're planting, and the conditioning of the ground. And you know what condition, garden condition, does every disciple need to take care of first? Your own heart. Because you can't go plant anything else if you don't know how to plant in your own heart. I must move on. Ground can be described as soil, a field where one can plant seed, a place of condition which provides opportunity and growth and development. There are two kinds of ground, the natural ground and the spiritual ground. I'm speaking of both, but I'm mainly speaking of spiritual because we're so caught up in the natural these days that we lose sight of the spiritual. I naturally don't like what someone's doing, so spiritually I'm going to react wrongly. Where's that in the Bible? Amen? There are two kinds of ground, one's natural, one's spiritual, that decides or describes the value of the ground and its potential. The ground is very hard, worn, torn, unworkable, unattended, or the ground's broken up, fertile, loose. where ground seed can take root. It's just one of two things. You either got hard or you got soft ground. In today's culture, there is many disciples. There are many disciples, church bodies. And I've been a part of one too. We labored for many years in our area. So I'm talking with experience here. In today's culture, there are many disciples and church bodies that have labored diligently, relentlessly in pursuit of God's kingdom, transformational happenings and results in their personal lives. That they have committed. Many have toiled many years, a long time. And what we're dealing with now is we don't see the results. And why is that? So we keep toiling. And the Lord sent me here to say, you need to break up the fallow ground. I don't know what all that means, Mac, and you're going to have to seek the Lord of that. Amen. But break up the fallow ground because this place is rich. This place has so much to offer. This place is going somewhere. But how many of you are tired of planting a ministry and have it just fall apart? Nothing happened. Or I go out and do this and just nothing happened. Nothing's happening. How many of you said that even about our Christian walk? Nothing's happening. We're doing all this, but nothing's happening. Oftentimes, these labors have fallen short and produced little fruit and results. I asked the Lord, what is the reason for this? And he responded to me, the ground is hard, unable to produce because it's unattended. There are two fundamental reasons for hard and unproductive ground. First, it is because God's people are disobedient, are rebellious, and have hardened their hearts. So in response to God doing the work, their heart is hard, so that what they produce is a hard ground. God declares the earth beneath them to be hard and iron. And I'm going to read a scripture. Who hardens the ground like iron if the people are disobedient? Second is because the ground has been given, tilled, and readied for soil only to be neglected, unattended, and allowed to follow, or fallow, unseeded, uncultivated, for a long period of time. How is it that we have many churches that have produced many, and all of a sudden they're not producing anything because they've neglected the ground? Am I making sense to you? Is this too hard, or are you going to be all right? Because God's calling us to stir up the ground. Break up the fallow ground of this, of our lives. Amen? Deuteronomy 28:23 says, the heavens which are over your head shall be bronze. Wow. The earth is under you, iron. Why is that? Is because the obedience and the condition of God's people are causing the ground to be hard. Our hearts, our devotion, why we're doing things. And God wants to stir that up. He wants us to stir up the ground that we live in. Every Sunday, come here, stir up the ground. Look for something different. Be a difference. Hallelujah. Sky and heavenlies condition dryness and darkness, no moisture. That's what bronze heavens, bronze skies are. There are no moisture. There's no wetness. Amen? There's no shower. There's no rain. And so the sky becomes like bronze. What breaks the sky open? Worship. What will break up the fallow ground? Prayer and the word. But we do that now. No. Yes, we do that. But we must change why we're doing it and what we're doing. We must change the devotion of what we're doing. Amen?
Leviticus, well, the earth is iron because, again, I said that it's hard, it's impenetrable, it's unattended. And if you took a look at any garden, we live in an agriculture area, and we watch how they take care of the ground. And they're meticulous. A farmer is very meticulous on taking care of the ground because he knows that if he doesn't take care of that ground, he will not have a crop. Amen? And so why is God calling us? I know this is, I can sense the heaviness, and we're gonna have a little praise before we leave here today, all right? But I had to bring this, Mac. Because I'm prophetically saying to you, this church needs to wake up. And it needs to arise. And we've heard those. How many of you have heard those messages before? Come on. Okay? So we wake up to arise, to get new ecstasies of our spiritual experience, and that's good. But we don't touch the ground we're standing on. We want the experience, but we don't want to do the day-by-day prayer work and making sure the ground of where our lives is pliable, soft, and we got to water the ground and make it soft. So everything, how many of you would like to see in this church, everything you plant on the ground would pop up and grow? Wouldn't that be awesome? Hallelujah. Consider this. You have heavenlies on top of things and earth below. What exists between the heavens, I want you to hear this now. You have heavens and you have earth. Are you with me? The condition of the heavens and the condition of the earth. You have a space in between them. Do you follow me? What is the space in between them? It is the atmosphere of what we create that will determine the openness of the heavens and the looseness of the earth. All that I talked about you yesterday was about this right here. Is that we got to create an atmosphere in this place so electric, so full of energy. And I'm not talking about New Age energy. I'm talking about the energy of the Holy Ghost. So full of life that the ground, everything we plant will grow. And every time we worship, there will be no bronze ceilings or brass ceilings. It'll all be loose and white because the atmosphere in our lives and our daily lives and what we're doing is pleasing to God, and He will open the heavens, and He will take care of the iron in the ground, and He will allow us to plant and succeed. What's between the heavens and the earth is the atmosphere. God created heaven and the earth to work together. We're supposed to be working together with heaven and earth. Bill Johnson wrote a book, Heaven on Earth. Awesome book. If you haven't read it, read it. It's awesome. Amen? And he talks about, what is God's will? God's will is for heaven to come down on earth. Amen? Praise God. I want you to get up and just want to do just an uplifting praise song. Amen? Can you do that? I knew this was heavy. I don't usually do this, but this is an assignment the Lord gave me for you today. It's because this place is sitting at a crucible. Do we stir up the ground, open the heavens, and move forward? Or do we continue just what we're doing, almost like sleepwalking every Sunday? We hope something will be different. Every Sunday we come, we hope the atmosphere will be different. Every Sunday we hope maybe we have a visitor or two. It's always wondering instead of coming to church expecting. Oh, I hope something goes well in church Sunday. Well, how about coming to make it go well? God's after something. He wants this house to become all He destined it to become. Condition of one's ground can be transformed from hard, unproductive, untilled ground to fertile ground. It can be done very easily. First, you must remove the ironclad ground and accomplish by returning to the Lord in obedience with a humble, repentant heart, a renewed heart. This will cause the ground that were hardened to be broken up. Second, is tilling and cultivating the hard, fallow ground which comes from the believers as instructions from Jeremiah 4:3, where it says, break up the fallow ground. God tells us to break it up. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. God wants you to reap what you sow. He wants us in this house to no longer sleepwalk, no longer take things for granted. There needs to be an awakening and a rising in this house. And it has to be at every aspect. My wife said something this morning. Every aspect needs to get a touch from the Lord. Every aspect of this church. It's not talking about pastor. This is talking about every person, every aspect. Lord, what would I have to do to help build this house? What do I have to do to stir up the fallen ground? What do I have to do to stir my heart up? I'm leaving you with questions today. But I'm also saying, are we willing, after COVID and after all that we're going on, are we willing to shake off what's been put on us? Rise up and say no more. Because for 2 years, the ground in many cases had been left barren. Because we're all been concerned about many things. But God's saying, no, it's time for the church to get the plows out, Pastor Mac. It's time for the picks to come out. It's time for the shovels to come out. Oh, I'm just too tired to do that. God will give you energy. Because if you're too tired in the spirit, you're sleeping. Although our bodies are weak, but our spirits are strong. Inside of the Lord, excitement of the Lord. How many of you have difference with people, amen, or you have a problem with somebody, and God is saying, let it go, put it down, and come together and build what I call this place to be. I got news for you, Pastor. It's not your vision. It's God's vision that birthed this place. Amen? It's God's vision. And he's looking for people that will create an atmosphere where the heavens are full of worship, not bronze. He's looking for those who create an atmosphere where the ground is so fertile that you step on it, it's almost sink because it's so fertile. And wherever I go, I plant something, it grows. Whatever I do, the fruit of the Spirit is so alive in this church. Why? Because the ground has been broken up. The vines have been released. The fruit of the Spirit has been released. Why? Because the planting of the Lord is coming alive. Why? Because the condition of the ground, the atmosphere is right, and the heavens open up. Let's all stand up.